something that's been ringing in my heart. God is a God of purpose, and everything he asks us to do is for a purpose. I remember there's one question people used to ask Prophet T.B. Joshua and say, what do you fear? Do you fear anything? And I remember he answered, the only thing I fear is next. What do we mean by next? Well, you know, tomorrow. What does tomorrow mean? Well, it could be a second from now. It could be a minute from now. It could be a year, 10 years from now. Because we say we're with God today. Will we be with God tomorrow? Will we end with God? Something that all of us should think about at some point in our lives is we don't want to get to the end of our journey to encounter Jesus and for Jesus to show us what we could have been, what we should have been, what we would have been. Why am I saying this? Because I believe that God is a God of purpose, and we have to discover ourselves in Christ Jesus in order to fulfill the purpose that God has for us on this earth. And not live out our days trying to pursue the purpose or the calling of someone else.
Sometimes we talk about future, am I right? Future. Remember, you and I, we were all once a tiny little embryo in our mother's womb. And see what we have become today. From an embryo hidden deep in our mother's womb, today see how big we are. The journey of life is in stages. This means every human being is born with the hidden purpose of God in his life. That's why the Bible talks about election of grace. Can't you imagine, my dear brothers and sisters, what Paul said, God who called me from my mother's womb to reveal his son, Jesus Christ, to me. That's what he said.
That means that God has a purpose for you since you were born.
That's what he said. And this Paul, now how come that he persecuted the church terribly? He persecuted the church with a zeal to destroy the faith. He had a letter of recommendation with full authority to trace the believers, to persecute them, and even to bring them to death sentence like Stephen. And he said, God who called me from my mother's womb to reveal his son to me. This means sometimes our future is something hidden. There is something in you that is embedded, hidden, the purpose of God in your life. Deep within you, it is hidden. You just need to discover it. Sometimes we don't know who we are. That's why the Bible says we should be very careful, because God never considers your past. God never considers your present situation to determine your future. You have to be careful not to judge anyone because of today. Tomorrow is mystery. Yesterday is the past. Today, opportunity. Tomorrow is mystery. God lives and dwells in the future. Your purpose in Christ is hiding in the future. The question is, if I don't know the purpose of God in my life, how can I channel my way? Because that purpose will never happen in a twinkle of an eye. You have to walk towards it.
It takes process.
Absolutely. And when I came to Prophet Joshua, he said something one day that strikes me and caused me a great fear. He said, if you don't know where you are destined to be, your destiny can be changed. That means you have to walk towards the place of destiny.
So how can we know then where God has destined us to be?
And that's the question now.
I think that's the question that's in everyone's heart. And I'm sure everyone that's watching has asked that question once, or maybe is asking it right now. How do I know where God wants me to be, what God wants me to do?
Between where you are coming from and where you are going, there lies the process of God. Between what you think you are and what God says you are, you have to go through the process of God. You need to discover what God says about you. You need to discover what is possible in Christ Jesus in your life. We have an occupation of destiny. What do I mean by that? I'm an engineer. But in the book of heaven, it is written that I'm a prophet, but I'm doing the work of an engineer. This is happening to so many people today. Led by our desires, led by earthly mentors, we want to be like the person we admire. I like Maradona. I want to be a footballer because I'm very fast. Let me go for football. Did God call you to go to be a footballer. When we were all in the office of the prophet, I was in the office with him. We were sitting on his chair, I was standing. We were watching football. He used to like football so much. There was a match of African Championship, and Cameroon was playing against another team. I don't remember what team was it. But as we are watching the TV, Professor and shake his head. So attention went to him, what he was saying. He said, this man, this number seven from Cameroon, this man, with the, he doesn't know. He's playing football and he has a prophetic calling in his life. That's what he said. He's in the football pitch, but he's called to be a prophet. This man is having dreams he couldn't understand. Gift of God embedded, he couldn't understand. And he's in the pitch playing football. What I want to say, the Bible says that those whom God predestined in the book of Romans chapter 8, from verse 28, 29, he has called. Those whom God called, he justified them. And those who justified, he glorified. That's the process. We have calling of God, many of us, every person. We have a calling of God for a specific assignment from God. It has nothing to do with being an apostle or a prophet. Every single person has an occupation of destiny. Some are called to be engineer, to be president, to be king, to be this, but with a difference. And that's what we are talking about. What is the difference? There is a special anointing of God in your life to carry out your God-given occupation of destiny. And when God gives you destiny, the destiny is packaged. Within that destiny, there is a destined partner. With that destiny, there is a destined place where God has prepared the people to welcome you.
Because we're not sent, or you are not sent to everyone, but you are sent to someone, some people that without your existence, without your life and your calling from God, they too, they cannot find their own. Meaning that the way God has designed everything, we're all interconnected. But that is why we have to follow the process of God, the destiny of God, in order to find what God is wants us to do.
Many of us will say, send email, I'm not sure about my calling. Somebody prophesied to me that I'm called to do this. Some say, I have a dream. In the dream, I saw Jesus. I saw this man giving me this. What's the meaning? In the dream, this. When God calls you, there is a picture of your future embedded in your spirit, in your life. That's why your behavior, your attitude will never change until God gives birth inside your heart to the picture of what God is looking at when he's seeing you. Let me repeat. Our behavior, our conduct will not change until the Holy Spirit gives birth within us to a picture, to a vision of what God is looking at when he sees you.
So how does the Holy Spirit give birth to that picture within you?
That's where I'm coming to. I want to give you a practical example. You mentioned Moses. We have Moses, we had Aaron.
Did I mention Moses?
No, you talk about, we are connected.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I bring Moses on as an example. So I'm going to bring an example to illustrate what you're saying.
Okay.
We are connected. We are a body of Christ. This is the hand, this is feet, this is head. Every single member of the body of Christ is meant to benefit everybody. Jesus has apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, but all work with the same body. Mean there is no competition in destiny.
Write that down. There's no competition in destiny.
There is no competition in God-given destiny. Because what God gives you will make you unique. His gift in your life makes you unique. That uniqueness is the difference we are talking about. The question is, the starting point. Before you talk about where God is, before you talk about what is God's calling, what is God this? You first need to discover yourself. The starting point of everything is you. You need to discover yourself. You need to discover whom you are. And then you will discover who God is. I want to explain. An example of Moses. Okay? Question. Who was Moses? Who was Moses? What do we know about Moses? Moses was the son of Hebrew slaves in Egypt. The mother was called Jochebed and Amram. Go read your Bible. He was born as a slave in Egypt. But God, it not consider your present but your future. Whatever God does in your life, it is linked to the picture of what God has seen in you in the mystery of tomorrow. That's why God will allow you to go through a process to prepare you for that future. In that process, God will allow you to go through tough situations. So the wilderness. Why? That difficulty you have is what we call circumcision. Mean God will strip you of everything you depend on yourself. Everything, your might, your power, your intelligence, your know-how.
Does that mean it's only in the wilderness you can discover yourself?
What does it mean? God will wait till you go to the end of yourself before he can mold you into glory. He will not share his glory to any man. That's why Paul said, we are earthen. Can we go to that first? Let's go to that section first. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 first. And we go back to Moses and we come back to you. What is Paul saying?
Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
He's saying, who am I? I just plant the word in your heart by preaching and teaching. Apollo watered, he teach also. But who make you grow in the spirit? Only God. Mm-hmm. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 7. Let's listen to what Paul said. We need to understand that we are nothing but instrument and vessel of God. But the vessel must be fit for the purpose of God.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us.
Say it again.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
What is the treasure? The Spirit of God in you, his anointing, the grace of God in your life, that's the treasure in you. God chooses earthen vessel. What is earthen vessel? You and I. Weak person. Ignorant person. Fragile and weak human being. We are all human with sense knowledge. Every one of us.
Imperfect people.
Imperfect. Now, God always calls us to do that which is impossible for us to do. If the calling is from God, he will call you to do something that you yourself, you can never do.
That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us.
What does this mean to you? God will call you to do something which is impossible to do by your human nature and ability, so he can teach you how to do it. He can guide you how to do it. If the calling is genuine, it will become like an impossibility. You yourself find it difficult to believe that. But God chose earthen vessel. Why? That is why Jesus never sent anyone to witness for him in the Bible without the glory and power of the Holy Spirit to make it happen for you. But now you are a vessel. The vessel must be fit. The vessel must be suitable to carry the glory of God. Mean the vessel must go through a process. When you are making a process, God has to melt you. You know that? God has to remold you before he can fill you. When I come with my understanding, God has to melt me. God has to strip me of my self-confidence. God has to strip me from people. He's a God of separation. You like your father, you like your mom, you like your people, those influence you. God said, for you to listen to me, I'm going to separate you from these people.
That's what happened to Abraham, to Moses. If you look at so many of the great heroes of faith in the Bible, God made that separation from everything they knew and were familiar with in order for that purpose to be
Thank
revealed.
Thank you for saying that. Because of what?
Because of God's purpose.
Focus.
Focus.
You talk about God's purpose and focus. The man that is poor is not the man that have no money, but the man that has no vision. The man that fails is not the man that does not have popularity, but the man that has no vision. If you don't have vision, you don't know what you're doing. You follow, copy people. God called Abraham for a specific purpose. But for Abraham to discover himself, for Abraham to walk towards the direction of God's calling for his life, Abraham must have had quick perception. If you are a man of destiny, you will understand that there is something special in your life. The Bible says the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways, to walk in the direction of God's calling for your life. The starting point, you must discover yourself first. The question we say, how did Abraham discover himself? How did Moses discover himself? And so many, that's going to talk about today. God appeared to Abraham and gave him revelation. Say, Abraham, leave your father's house. The question I'm always asking, do you think Abraham would just wake up and say, hey, I have a vision, I leave and go, if he did not know the person who called him?
That means he really must have.
There was a process before that we never knew. Prophetic calling has to do with your life. God has prepared the heart of Abraham when nobody heard about Abraham. When the voice came, he knew the voice of the shepherd. When David was behind the sheep, the Bible never recorded anything until David said, hey, the Lord helped me from the lion and the bear. When God is processing you from childhood to where you are, he's building something in you, mystery, but you yourself don't know. You just woke up, go to school, do this. The unseen hand of God in your life is his plan in your life. You need to discover it. It's in the hand of God directing you from circumstances of life. Now, I'm coming back to Moses, and we'll talk about the many heroes of faith today. Who was Moses? We say he was the son of a Hebrew slave in Egypt. God called this man to become the greatest prophet, deliverer we know today. But one day the Bible says, the mother threw this boy, this baby, in the river because Pharaoh was seeking to destroy any male that have 2 years. Why? The scripture will not tell you. But Pharaoh must have a revelation that there's somebody here in this boy. We don't allow these people to become too many. If there are too many, they will destroy us. If there are too many, they will do this. They will fear. So let's get rid of the male. That's what he said. But God never dodges crisis. God sent this little boy into the lion den of Pharaoh. God did not send him to the wilderness somewhere. God sent him directly where the danger was. God allowed Moses to go to the house of Pharaoh. And when he was in the house of Pharaoh, where everybody was afraid, he was adopted, and Pharaoh adopted Moses as his son. The unseen hand of God can take you to unreachable places you have never thought about. Moses grew up as a baby. Moses has no consciousness at that time. He was a baby. When he grew up, I believe Moses would have think he's the normal son of Pharaoh. But in the course of action, something in his heart was disturbing Moses. He was having compassion of the Hebrew slaves. He saw how they treated him. Something in his heart was triggering him. Something, there was a clock inside. And one day, you saw them fighting. Instead of fighting the Hebrew person, he defended and killed the oppressor. And when he killed the man, he got afraid and he ran away in the wilderness. Now the Bible says, something was telling Moses he had to help these people.
That means the calling of God in our life is actually naturally a part of us.
It is inbuilt. It is embedded inside of you.
We just need to have that sensitivity to be able to recognize it and not to, like you said, live our life copying or following the ideas and principles of others.
Moses discovered something, that sense of leadership. That sense was inside of him in his life already. But he needed somebody to help him understand whom he was. But God, to release you into your future, will use any proper means to disconnect you from anything that can stand against his vision in your life. He will allow you. It was hatred that sent Joseph to a place of destiny. It was fear of death that sent Moses to the wilderness to Midian, to the place where God was giving appointment there. It wasn't in Egypt, but it was in the wilderness, in the mountain of wilderness, that God revealed himself today. That was the appointment of God. So the trouble you are facing, your situation, are transit point towards a place of destiny. But because we are unable to see the hand of God in our affairs, we begin to lament, we begin to cry. But there is an unseen hand of God behind everything in the life of your life if you are called by God. Nothing happens for nothing. Nothing happens by chance. So before I can move to a place, first and foremost, I need to discover myself. I need to know who I am. What does God say that I am? Do I have a God say I have to do his work in my life? How can I know my future if future does not reveal to me? And that's why we talk about discovering yourself. Now, to help Moses, sometimes you may have a dream. Many have dreams. They will dream and see things happen. But you don't understand the dream. You have some vision. You don't understand what it means. Something keep on ringing in your heart, telling you this is going to happen. Things are happening. But you don't know. There's something embedded in you, but you don't know what it is. That's the picture of your future. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal yourself to you. You need to discover it first. When you discover it, you will have joy. You will have hope. You will know whom you are in Christ Jesus, and nothing will move you. But it takes a process to know that. Melting, molding, before he fill you. Now, we talk about Moses, right? Moses, God allowed unchangeable event. What is that quote about the prophet you just taught us? God allowed events. That events that continue to unfold until God's plan in your life is revealed. That's God will allow many things to happen to your life. Things you consider you don't like. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do... But it was God's purpose.
God designs and arranges events.
They suck you from your job.
That continue to unfold until and his purpose absolutely. Is revealed.
They suck you from your work. You look for job everywhere because you are doing your own. God closes the door for you because there's another door for you. God has what I call the veto right. No veto right.
You can override.
When you go to the assembly, we say, okay, we vote. We vote against this country. Everybody come and vote. There's some say, I have a veto right. I say, no, that's final. Nobody had nothing. It's God. God has capacity to overrule our own plan. And you hit the wall. Your door are closed. You begin to cry. You begin to lament. What is this?
When our own plan is actually not part of his plan, he can overrule it.
Now, Moses was a murderer. He killed a person. And because he was afraid of being killed, he ran for dear life in the wilderness. And he went to the desert of Midian. You know the story. I'm not going to talk about the story. You know, go read your Bible. He went to a place God has assigned for him. Because there was a place of appointment with his destiny. God will always give you appointment. Not in comfort, in discomfort.
In the wilderness.
No one comes to Jesus Christ in comfort. It's trouble that led you to Jesus. When Moses ran into the wilderness where there is nobody, nobody to disturb him, no father, no mother, no people to care for, his only job was to take care of the sheep. And one day, in an ordinary day, in the wilderness alone, he looked at the mountain. When the time came, God said, this man does not know me. He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know my plan. How can I draw his attention and speak to him? That's why God sometimes will bring a vision to your life. A dream, a vision will come any moment of your life. When God gives appointment, it's appointment of his vision.
To appointment get our with attention.
Oh, Lord, as it will change your life 360 degrees. When God is trying to prepare you, he will melt you. And that's the most difficult. We don't like it. Melt means to strip you. You cry. I want this. I want this. They say, no, I like my mom. I like their mom. We will separate you from your mom. I like my brother. We will separate you from your brother. I like my country. We will separate you. I like this job. You, what you are addicted, he will separate you from you. He's a God of separation, division. He divide the light from darkness. He divide the heavens from the earth. God allowed this to happen to send you to a place of location.
Even if you look at the way God decided to take the Israelites through the Red Sea and then close the Red Sea after them, meaning there was no going back. In the same way, that demonstrates that God is a God of separation. He separated them from their past, knowing that later on they would actually desire to want to go back and begin to reminisce and say, oh, things were better before, and look at life with, you know, a wrong perspective because they were focusing on the wrong things. But when God wants us to move forward, he will block the ways to go back, because the only way to discover new oceans is to lose sight of the shore. Mm-hmm. And you can't lose sight of the shore unless you make that decision that, no, I'm going to follow God's calling. I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to be governed by what other people want me to do, but what God wants me to do. That means having an independent mind. And it's not about quarreling or having disagreements with the people that you love or love you. No, it's about knowing that you just have one life to live. One life for Jesus is so dear. And like we said at the beginning, you don't want to get to the end of your journey and say, oh, I could have been, I would have been, I should have been. No. Don't wait for a more convenient day to discover your purpose in life.
How will you discover yourself? God's mercy. It takes the Holy Spirit to release you into your destiny in Christ. Mm. It takes His mercy. He will lead you to the narrow way where you don't want to go. He will lead you there. He will use every proper means. You may not understand.
A place that you naturally would not want to go.
He will take you first to a place of sacrifice. Mm. Before He takes you to a place of reward. He will take you to a place of the cross, where He will strip you of everything you build your confidence, so you can depend on Him, on His leading. As long as we depend on our flesh, faith is not there. Because we depend too much on our flesh and what we know. And the Bible said, do not lean in your own understanding. When Moses was in the wilderness, 40 years, the Bible says, in 40 years, he had no hope that he would see his family anymore. God was preparing the vessel in the wilderness, in that mountain. And one day, he saw the burning bush. Bam. Mm. What is this? When you pay attention, God say, Moses, Moses, God knows you by name. He knows your name. He knows your past. He knows your future. He knows everything about you. He's your creator. And much more, He knows what the future holds for you. That is why God gives us dreams sometimes in mercy, to show us the roadmap of where we are going. So your future must move into the present before you can move into that future. I repeat, the future God has for you must be moved to you now by dream and revelation before you can walk towards that future. You understand? When the Holy Ghost gives you a vision of what you are becoming, He plants the seed of what you are becoming. He's busy planting the seed of what you are becoming in the future. So He will reveal to you His gift, the place He wants to send you, in the dream, in the vision first. Then you will say, this dream, that's the roadmap. That's the picture of what God is looking at you as He's seeing when He's looking at you. You see yourself as a nobody. God sees you as a liberator, but you don't know. So when God appeared to Moses, Moses, God said to you, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I have seen the pain of my people, Israel. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore you go. I am sending you to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Moses ran away from Pharaoh for dear life. God said, go back to the man you ran away from and tell him, let my people go. He has seen the atrocity of how these people were treated by somebody who was ferocious. He can kill them, a mighty army. God said, go and tell him, leave my people. The Bible said that Moses was a stammerer. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
That day he must have stammered before God as ever before in his life. God always asks us to do that which is impossible for us to do, so he can teach us how to do it. God will never ask you to do what you can do yourself. Mm-hmm. Not by power, not by might, by my spirit. Zechariah 4:6. Moses said, let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, one by one. Let's listen to the answer of Moses, chapter 3, verse 11.
But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?
He said, what strikes you in that sentence?
Who am I?
Who am I? Mean he focused on himself immediately. Me? No, how can this be? I don't have any strength. You look at me, Moses, look, he has no ability in his own to do that. Whom am I to stand before Pharaoh and say, let my people go? He will finish me. He will kill me. Moses was focusing on him, whereas God wants you to focus on God's ability, not you. God's calling for your life, his purpose for your life, requires what we call anointing, requires a supernatural ability to do it.
And that's the point of God in your life.
Thank you very much. The point of God, or God's point. What is God's point in your life? What is the gift of God in your life? What is the essential quality God gives you that nobody else can do? You need to discover that. Moses said, who am I? What did God said? Verse 12.
So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you.
Take note of the answer. I
will certainly be with you.
I will be with you.
You're not doing it alone.
This is the answer of God to every single heroes of faith. This is the answer God gave to everybody who was doubtful. Gideon. We're going to talk about Gideon. Go and read Judge 6. Say, God, whom am I to deliver my people from the Midianite? My family is the least, and I am the least. Whom am I? God say, I will be with you. What's the meaning of I will be with you?
Ruth? It's not your strength, it's my strength through you.
Thank you. Where does that strength come from? Natural strength?
No, spiritual strength.
Spiritual strength. That is it. You are natural. I am natural. What God calls me to do is a spiritual task, which requires spiritual ability, which a natural man cannot do. That's why we need the Spirit of God to give us abilities to do them. So, God said to him, I will be with you. Remember what Jesus said? To you and I and everybody who believes. In John chapter 14, verse 17. When I go to the Father, he will give you another comforter, another helper. He is with you. He will be in you. Holy Spirit is with you to give you supernatural ability. He will be in you to sanctify you and to lead you. Jesus never commissioned anybody to witness for him without the power and direction of the Holy Spirit. It's not a work, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification, the work of separation, is the work of the Holy Spirit. Ability is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul says, we have this treasure in
earthen vessels.
What is the treasure? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, 26, 27. Not by power, not by might, by my spirit. Why I am saying this? Your past does not matter to God. Your present situation does not matter to God. Whether you come from a poor family, rich family, it does not matter to God. He never considers your past, never considers your present to determine your future. That's God for you. Now, what did God say to Moses? I will be with you. Continue.
And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.
Now, God said, I will give you a sign. That when you bring these people out, you bring them to this mountain. At this mountain, I'm talking to you, I will speak to them, which God will do in Exodus chapter 20 with the Ten Commandments. So now the task is impossible for Moses. What did Moses answer? Let's continue.
Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This now, is my name forever.
If God say I am, what does this mean?
I exist.
Not only I exist, I am all sufficient. My grace. God is saying to Moses what Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. I am whom I say I am. I have what I say I have. I can do what I say I can do. God is trustworthy, reliable, all sufficient. I am. That's the name he gave. And to cause them to believe, I am the God of Abraham. I am the same God that walked with Abraham, that walked with Isaac, that walked with Jacob. I'm sending you to them. This is enough for Moses to believe and to trust. But Moses, up to now, was focusing on himself. He never understood. You see, this task is enormous. He continued to argue with God. Continue reading.
Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites.
One thing, God was talking to him. He was seeing the vision of the angel. And he was still arguing with God in the midst of that revelation. That revelation is supposed to be enough to say, hey, this is God.
That means he was truly focusing on his weakness.
Because he has not discovered God's point for his life. He never knew he's called to be a prophet of God. A man through whom God speaks and reveals his ways. A man God empowers that if he speaks something, it comes to pass. And he has the backing of God behind his word for its fulfillment. Moses was just focusing on himself. Moses has not seen yet that one day the Red Sea will be opened before him. He has not seen that God will send 10 plagues, miracles that people have never seen in life through this man. That he will speak to a rock and water will come. Moses has not yet discovered God. He's still arguing with God. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4. Chapter 4.
Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice.
Can't you imagine? Now he's not talking about himself. He said, but Lord, okay, you're the one talking to me. But the people you are sending me, they will not believe. Will they believe me? I'm an ordinary person. I'm a normal person. How will they believe I come from you? Now, God, continue reading.
So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you.
God is saying supernatural sign will follow you. They will know that man cannot do this. That's the work of Holy Spirit. When you read the power of the Holy Ghost, the gift of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, these are the supernatural power of God to speak word of wisdom, word of knowledge, miracles, signs and wonders that will back up your word that this man is not an ordinary person.
Meaning that God will never commission you or send you to do anything alone, but always with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, that power, that gift is embedded in you, but you don't know it. Joseph had a dream. He saw, how do you call it, 12?
Sheaves. Of grain.
Of grain, mm-hmm. bowing before him. He told his brothers, and they understood that he's talking about themselves, they will bow before him. God gave him a dream, and God gave him one gift in the life of Joseph, was dreaming. And he understood the meaning of his dream at that time. Mm. After God showed him the moon and the sun bowing before him, he told his father, because he understood that the sun is a father, the moon is a mom, that they will bow before him. Mm. The father was annoyed. Are you telling me I and your mom will come and bow before you? God will give you something that known to you alone. That's the gift of God in your life.
Other people will not understand.
Absolutely. When Jesus was 12 years, they find him where? In the temple of teaching at that age.
In his father's house.
The gift is embedded in you. You need to see the picture of what God is doing. Oh Lord, you don't need to have a dream. The dream is in you inside. Let the Holy Ghost reveal you the dream inside of you.
So that means if people are asking, okay, what's my divine calling?
That's my calling.
It's not as if you have to wait till you have a vision from God. It's just for you to understand and see yourself the way God sees you, because he's already planted that vision and that calling within you. It just needs to be transferred to the outside.
Dream and vision is not when you sleep and something will cross your heart, will cross your mind every second, every day. Something is telling you deep inside of you. Deep inside of you. I saw one brother, they say one word, fort intérieur. It's a French person. He said, une fois j'ai dans mon fort intérieur entendu, commence à prier. Effrayé Mabika. See, he's writing in French. I'm going to translate for everybody. He say, I'm the judge, a man of God. I often dream. I'm seeing myself praying, sometimes with Prophet T.B. Yeshua. And sometimes it happened to me to pray for him. And one day in my innermost being, dans mon fort intérieur, j'ai entendu commencer à prier. In my innermost, I heard a voice say, begin to pray. Okay, my dear brother. Holy Spirit speaks to our heart every day, but we don't understand. You may have a dream, a vision, we don't understand. Knowledge will come first, but understanding comes later. And that's where the terrible issue is. If you don't understand that God is the one speaking to you, you will never believe it. Samuel, if Samuel did not have Eli to tell him, next time you hear the voice, don't come to me. God is talking to you. Pay attention. Say, Lord, speak. I'm listening. It was when the boy turned his focus towards God and said, speak to me, Lord. The master was there to point him to God. If you have a master, if you have a mentor, God can send somebody to help you discover yourself. To help you to know that the dream you have, this is the meaning. That's the purpose of having a master in your life. To discover yourself, to help you to discover yourself. At the same time, to help you to accept the process of God, the process of disciplining you, your character to be fit for the purpose God is calling you. That's important. But Moses had no master. He was a born prophet. That's why he was completely lost. So God is the one that taught him. God is the one that took him step by step. That's why his heart was slow to believe what God was saying about him. He couldn't just argue with God. God gave him signs. So now when he went with the signs, he stopped arguing, right? But he said something to God. Continue reading. There's something he said to God, but it's funny. Listen. After verse 14.
But he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled
now
against
wait.
Moses.
What is Moses saying? He said, God, okay, I see the dream, I see the vision, I see the miracle, but me, I don't want to go.
Yeah, me, send someone else.
Send whoever you want, but not to me. That's what Moses said to God. Mm. Why? Because the thing was so big, it was still focusing on himself. God said, okay, I know you don't want to speak. And Moses said to God, I'm slow of speech. I don't know how to talk. God is not interested by our eloquency. God is not interested by your mental knowledge. That means nothing to him. Because those words you speak intelligently have no life. Our works, Holy Spirit will only affect what comes from God. Holy Spirit will only back up what comes from him. If he gives you inspiration, he will stand behind it to fulfill it. If he speaks through you as a prophet, he will fulfill it because he's God. His word can never fall to the ground. But if it is you, you are left to your own strength. Moses said to God, okay, Lord, I saw the miracle, I heard you, but me, choose whoever you want, but not me. And God got angry. Sometimes you can see why you enter into deep trouble, because God can get angry about stubbornness. We are like sheep. Don't go there. I want to go there. Go there. No, I don't want. Sometimes for the shepherd has a staff to force you to go to the right way. Now, God was angry. Why? Because of disbelief. Moses did not have any faith yet. That's the problem with Moses. He was getting into the faith of God. God has to convince him. God has to turn him. God has to explain. God has to explain. It is not easy to the flesh. Saying it's not easy. Don't understand Moses. You say it's not easy to understand Moses. God never asks you what is easy, my sister.
No, she's saying she understands Moses, that he reacted like that.
God, yes, in the common sense, understand it. Because common sense is talking. God will never ask you to do what you can do yourself. What God asks you may seem foolishness to common sense. Go through the wilderness. How can you ask me to go through the wilderness? There's no water, we're going to die there. God say, go there. That's God's way. Yeah? Common sense will never go choose the Red Sea. God, choose the Red Sea. That's another way. Carry your cross. Mean, don't rely on your own understanding. Follow me and trust me. I make impossibilities possible for you if you're led by the Holy Ghost. Why do you need the Holy Spirit to do what is natural? You need the Holy Spirit because you're unable to do what he asks you to do. You can speak in tongues by yourself and there's no life. But if Holy Ghost speaking tongues, you see people get healed, a miracle happen. If you give you speaking tongues, Holy Ghost can use you prophetic word to come to pass. He can speak through you. He is a vessel. He is the one that you are just a vessel. So the question is, Moses, if you look at situation on the natural without discovering the gift of God in your life, you cannot go there because you'll be afraid. Because there's no faith. Faith overcomes fear. Faith and fear are opposite. That's why I say you didn't have faith. If you have faith to believe in, faith rests in God, not on you, in God's ability, in God's purpose, not on you. That is faith.
That's true. And in order for you to answer God's calling and to follow God's calling, it's not a natural or a common sense decision or maybe a business plan. It's stepping out in faith and following God. That means we can't enter into any kind of calling from God by ourselves, because we can't do it by ourselves. And what Moses is displaying here, what that example shows us, is that we need God's strength. We can't do it on our own strength.
This brother say, c'est vrai, nous limitons. It's true, we are limiting ourselves. You are not only limiting yourself, you are limiting God. You limit yourself when you limit God. If you approach your situation by faith, there's no limit to what you can achieve. If you approach and respond to God by faith, sky will be your limit.
It's true, because I think so many of us, we've believed the lie that we're a victim and someone else should solve our problem, whereas God has made us to be a problem solver, like Jesus. You know, so many of us, we put limits on ourselves, and we believe the lie that, you know, God can't use us or God can't communicate to us, whereas actually we're created in the image of likeness of God for God to communicate to our spirit. But so many of our spirits are locked up in sin. And when your spirit is locked, it becomes useless as an instrument. It can't be sensitive to the Spirit of God. It's only when your spirit is open to the Spirit of God that God can truly use you, because you are the greatest product of the Holy Spirit. He's designed you. He's designed for his energy, his strength, his ability to be working through you. But so many of us, like our brother said, we put limits on ourselves. We don't discover ourselves.
We are living under 4-foot ceiling, where sky is your limit. You need to see yourself the way God sees you. You need to know where God is, what God has prepared you to do. So what happened to Moses happened to all of us here today. All of us. the man of God prophet just said, we are too conditioned to believe that what happens in the Bible is not only happened to the heroes of faith, not now. We are too, so many people believe that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what we see in the book of Acts of Apostles, is mere history. It cannot happen to us.
That it was just for that time.
And that's where the problem is. Jesus never said it was only for that for them. It's for everybody who believes. It's to fulfill the promise of Abraham to the nations. And we are the nations. We are not Israel by flesh, but we are the promise to Abraham, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is still there. The time we are still in the dispensation of grace. Jesus has not come back yet. I mean, the promise is now for those who believe it. So, faith sees the invisible, believes the impossible, and receives the incredible. You must first see it. You must believe it before you receive it. Now, God was trying to build the faith in Moses, for Moses to obey. You can't obey what you don't understand. You can't obey what you don't believe. Now what did God say to him? God was so angry, and God said to him what?
So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is this not Aaron the Levite, your brother? I know that he can speak very well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do.
What did God say? God said, you are the one I called. I never called your brother, but you are looking for help from man. Okay, your brother will help you. But I'm not giving my revelation to your brother. You are the one that I call, whether you believe me or not, you be my prophet. My revelation will come through you. Since you say you don't speak, okay, tell him what I told you so he can repeat for you. Let him be your prophet and I make you God. That's what God said to him. God has gone to that extent. Go to Exodus chapter 7. For Moses to believe, God went to an extent we have never seen in the Bible. What God said in Exodus chapter 7. Listen to what God said.
So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land.
Pause. A prophet is the spokesman of God, is the voice of God. God will put his own words in the mouth of the prophet. And Moses was called to be a prophet. No man can make you a prophet. Only God raises prophets. It was predestined from childbirth to be a prophet of God. So now God say, you don't know how to speak. No problem. I will give you the revelation. And you talk. You took my position. Okay, Aaron became your prophet. And you are God to him. That's what God said to him. Aaron will only repeat your words. But I'm going to give you my words, you. Mean, this is what the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 9. Can you go quickly to Romans chapter 9 verse 15 to 16? We need to understand this truth. Once you understand, you will stop focusing on yourself and begin to ask God to reveal to you, to show you what he has in store for you. Romans chapter 9 verse 14, 15.
What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, not of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth.
We are going to take it. It's very important. Can you go back to verse 15? I'm going to explain.
For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy.
Mean I call whom I want to call. I give my grace to whom I can give grace. No man will choose. God chooses as he wills. And God always chooses the weak. God chooses the person who is weak, who have no intelligence, no knowledge, no confidence, earthen vessel, so that the glory belongs to God. That's the way of God, his wisdom. He gave grace to whom he gave grace. He has called Moses, not Aaron. He has called you, not your brother. When they call you, that calling is for you. Continue reading. Yes,
this. And I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, mm-hmm. not of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy.
I explain. What does this mean? What do you understand by that? It is not he who wills, but he who runs.
It's not our will. It's not because we decide we want to
It is not because I want to be a prophet, I become a prophet. No, it's God's will. It's not he who runs. You can go and pray for 40 years, whatever. If God's not called you, we waste our time. Mm. It's not my work. It's not my work. It's not he who wants to be or he who runs to be, but God, he give grace. Mm. And God say, I give my grace to Moses, not to Aaron, but grace is given to you. Do you believe that grace? Grace can only work if you believe it. We always say, how are you? Oh, I'm fine by the grace of God. We ever, by the grace of God. We will say it though. But the grace of God cannot come without faith. Grace becomes reality when you embrace it by faith. The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8. We are blessed by God, by grace through faith. I mean, Jesus has done all the work for you. All you need is to believe what Christ has done. So now, before I come back to you, mean your greatness, God's calling for your life, the gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has paid the price. It's not about you, what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary for you. Saul never knew that. It was when Jesus revealed to him and opened his eyes, he began to see who Jesus was. It was when Ananias prayed and Holy Ghost came, the gift of God began to explode in his life and he discovered whom he was. That's why he say, I was once a blasphemer, but I was ignorant.
How can I see myself as God sees me?
Good. To see yourself as God sees you means to know God's opinion for your life. To know God's opinion for your life, the Holy Ghost must show you what is hidden in you. And that's where the work of Holy Ghost will start. He will take you to understanding. Because you have a dream, you couldn't understand. I told you I had 5 dreams I never understood in my life. The first dream, I shared it with you. In 1998, I saw a mountain taller than the sky. And there was a man taller like the mountain, at the same height. And myself, I was a baby, crawling on my knees. And the man was smiling, stretching his hand towards me. That was the first vision I had. I said, what's the meaning of this? I want to go to that mountain. But this man can take me there because I'm stone at the mountain. But I was a baby. It took me 4 years. Look for the man everywhere. When I came to SCORN, Senegal Church of a Nation, I took a magazine. I saw one picture. And the man I saw in my dream was the man I saw. It was this man called Prophet T.B. Joshua. He was wearing a black suit and mustache like this. I said, what? This is the man. This is the man I saw 4 years ago. 4 years ago. So when I met the man, they were going, say, you, God has called you to be this. But for this to happen to you, you have to come and serve under me. That's the process he's talking about. Now you can understand why I went there, I lost everything to go and follow him. Because it's my destiny. If I did not receive that dream, and he just told me, I may doubt it, like Moses did. But because I had the dream, I was looking for 4 years, what's the meaning? And I saw the man in my dream. There was him talking to me. So God has convinced me about him before I saw him. God caused me, Holy Ghost helped me to see in advance and to believe this man is talking to me in my life.
So God had to reveal to you that this man was linked with your destiny in order for you to actually follow what he said to you. Because then you knew truly it was God using him to speak to you.
That is it. Sometimes God will use a person, an anointed person, to confirm what's happening to your life, what you yourself don't understand. Sometimes God can use an anointing man of God to tell you what you have received. Don't forget, you must have the vision yourself. Whatever prophecy you receive from somebody, don't just act on it. Ask God to reveal to you. I've seen so many people, because of prophecy they receive, they left their country. They do things after they regret. Prophet say, marry this person. Prophet say, do this. I say, you. Did God reveal something to you? Say, no. I say, my God, you don't know what you're saying. God is the God of confusion. He's a God of wisdom. Because faith is a conviction. How will I have a conviction this from God if God did not convince me? No?
Holy and Ghost. It's that conviction that will actually give you the strength that no matter any trial or temptation or difficulty or challenge, you will stay firm to what you believe. It has to be a conviction in your heart. If not, if you just go to a place or do something because someone has asked you to or because maybe you think you should, it won't stand the test of time.
True.
The only way that you can be committed to something is when it comes from your heart and you believe that thing, when you believe that God's calling is true for your life, when you believe that truly someone is sent to you or you are sent to someone. And that's definitely our experience in our life being mentored by Prophet T.B. Joshua. You know, it was just something divine, a divine connection. If not, there's no way we would have been there or stayed there or gone all over the other side of the world.
I want you to read this, brother, say, please, Romans chapter 9, 14, 17, because I was going to what he's saying.
Okay.
Because he's asking a question, does it about predestination? Romans 9, 14, 17.
What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion.
Continue.
So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth.
Good. Now go to Romans chapter 11. I want to say something right there. Just go for Romans chapter 11 from verse 16.
For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. Mm-hmm. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either.
What is Paul explaining here?
That it's just by grace.
It's by pure grace. We have been grafted by grace. Whatever you are in Christ Jesus is by grace. We don't have anything to labor, to work. Christ has done everything. The only thing is to believe. To believe the grace of God in your life. It takes the grace of the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see what is promised to you in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit opened our eyes to see what is promised to us in Christ Jesus. That is why when you are having dreams, you don't understand. Somebody said, "Means you are still in the process." I was in the process. The process, I was in France doing finance, doing accounting, do whatever I wanted to do. How can I, at that moment, be focused in God to go through the process of God? God wanted me to leave everything of that country, to go to a place of destiny. That was my wilderness, to carry my cross. I have to leave France, to leave my job, to leave everything I've been doing in that country for more than 22 years. And go where nobody wants to go. Go to Nigeria. Nigeria! Hey, Nigeria! I heard so many things about that country. Don't go to Nigeria. And Nigeria is a wonderful country. I'm saying it because I lived there. I went to a place where people say there is hell. I found paradise. Where people say don't go there. I find a prophet of God, a man of God, a friend of God. I find an environment where your life is focused 24 hours in serving God. Your life was centered on serving people, learning every day, helping people, knocking at the door every day, learning to preach, learning to teach and to serve people with your life.
The University of the Holy Spirit.
That was the process. God is telling me, you want to serve me? Follow this man. That was the first dream I had. Follow this man. Go through the process. And later, what he told me was a confirmation. Now, you may not understand what God is doing in your life. that it takes time to understand it. Continue to pray. There's God's appointed time for everything in life. Step by step. Step by step. You don't understand your dream? Continue to pray. Don't abandon your dream. If your dream is challenged by circumstances, because sometimes we look at our situation. How can it be? As Moses focused on inside, you focus on your situation. But God never asks you to look at your situation, but look behind your situation. Behind your situation lies the purpose of God. Behind that trouble lies the purpose of God. In that wilderness, there was a mountain of God. That was the only place that Moses could face God. You will never find God in the palace. You find God in the village, in the wilderness.
Because it's only in those moments you'll discover what God can do through you. Because otherwise you'll think it's just your own strength or your own natural ability or your own idea. But when you know that definitely the only way the Red Sea can open is because of God, that's when you can discover yourself.
Good. Continue. Continue.
Yeah, when you know it's only God's power working through you, that humanly speaking, it would not be possible. And that's why every time I look back at my journey, I always know it's just God. There's no way that I'm here today because of my own will or desire. It's just God. I remember there was a time Prophet T.B. Joshua was telling us that sometimes what you would have liked to do humanly is different to God's plan for you. You know, if I look back at university and think what I studied, what I thought I wanted to do with my life, it's completely different. And many times we can have ideas or natural ideas that we would like to do this or like to do that, or maybe we want to do this. But when it comes to a matter of calling, it's like Racine explained earlier, it's a veto right. God just takes you out of your comfort zone and will put you where he wants you to be. And even though you don't understand, in God's reality, it makes sense. And that is where you have to depend on him and you have to follow him. Once you take that step of faith, it's a wonderful journey and it's not a scary thing at all because you're doing it with God.
It's true. This brother, Neves Tunga, I'm in India pursuing my M.Tech in computer science and engineering. And I want to maintain my relationship with God. Please help me with prayer because I'm facing challenge. My brother, whatever you are doing today can be the link when God will send you to your future. You are studying engineering? Do your engineering. Study what you are doing for excellency. And pray to God. God called Amos. Go read your Bible. Amos was behind the oxen. He was a farmer and God called him. He left the farm and began to do his work. Elisha was a farmer. He was farming, doing his job. One day, Elisha came and threw the mantle on him. Whatever you are doing in your life, do it with all your heart. That can be the connection of God for your life. That can be God's connection for your place of destiny. Peter was a fisherman. Jesus met him there and teach him how to fish people. God uses the natural. Your gift in the natural can have a connection to the gift in the supernatural. Joseph was having dreams, and that's the gift God gave him, prophetic gift, and was able to interpret the dreams and find himself on the throne of Egypt.
That's what took him to his place of destiny.
Absolutely. You can be a musician, you can be an engineer, whatever you may be, God can use that natural talent to put supernatural talent on that talent. That's why I said, you are an engineer. Whatever you are doing today, do it with all your heart because you have to go through the process of God. The vessel must be ready. Many of us, we had job before we came to this. When the calling of God come, you may be doing any kind of job. But when the time of God come, God will release you from what you are doing to do something else. Mean, when it is time for God to manifest his purpose in your life, there will be a change of location and a change of activities. Peter stopped fishing fish and started fishing men. He left the Sea of Galilee and followed Jesus along the road.
And the process of God, we have said it, you know, it's not overnight. So whatever you're doing now, if you believe in your heart, this is not where I'm destined to be, or maybe I'm supposed to be doing something else. you know, don't be in a rush. Look at Moses. He spent 40 years in the wilderness before God revealed his purpose to him. Although God had been working in the process of his heart, it wasn't just one night work, you know. By the time God revealed his calling to Moses, Moses' heart was ready. Even though he didn't think he was ready, his heart was ready to do the work of God. So everything we're doing in life, every natural assignment that we're doing, every work we're doing, and everything around us on a day-to-day basis, all of it is preparing our heart and processing our life, our character. Because, you know, I was talking with a friend the other day, you know, in this world of ever-increasing AI that can do things almost better than people that maybe have studied so many years at university and can do in a second, character becomes increasingly important because you can't fake character. You can't pretend to have good character. That character has to be in you. And that's what's a quality which can't be made up humanly. It can only come from God, from God working in your heart. And throughout your life, you can actually go through many experiences that God will use to shape your character before he gets you to the place where you're destined to be. Because remember, the right time brings the right situation. Same way the right time brings the right person, the right time brings the right move of location. So if you feel you're not where you're destined to be, make sure that your heart is open to receiving the process of God, and it's not an overnight thing. So don't get desperate.
The question is, it's not your time. It's not your way. It is God's time. It's God's way. Moses' process, it may be different from you and from my own. The Bible says Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness before God came at the age of 8 years. Go and read your Bible. Some people, it doesn't mean everybody will go through that process. It depends on the calling you have that is specific and the process God wants you to go through. God chooses what we go through. We choose how we go through it. God chooses the process for every single person. You choose how we go through it by faith. So Moses, the day Moses began to have faith, that's when he discovered himself. The day Moses began to discover God's ability in him, his life changed forever. When God said, call Aaron, you become like God to him. When they came to the house of Pharaoh, who did the first miracle? Aaron is the one who was able to throw the staff. And Moses saw the reality of the snake. But when the plague started coming, there was a time. We don't hear Aaron anymore. Moses started talking and we forget about Aaron. Because Moses has discovered himself. If he says something, it will happen. When the plague became too much, Pharaoh said, pray for me. Moses will come before God and God will stop it. Whatever Moses say, God do. Moses became a friend of God. When the people of Israel, God revealed himself to them. They went to worship the golden, I call it the golden calf. God said, I will destroy them. Moses bowed down before God and pleaded for mercy for his people. Because of Moses, God forgave. Moses became a friend of God. Now, when Moses discovered himself, he wanted to see more of God. He never says, send Aaron. He said, I'm here. I want to know you. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses said to God, show me your way. Teach me your way so I may find more grace in your sight. God said, I will do what you have asked. My presence will be with you anywhere you go and give you peace. But Moses was not satisfied. He said, God, show me your glory. And God revealed himself physically to Moses. A man could not see my face, but he will see my back. God did all the things to help build faith in Moses, in God's ability. It became a relationship. What I want to say is this one. The moment you discover yourself, you will discover your need for God. And when you discover your need for God, you begin to build a relationship with your Creator. You begin to build a relationship with the one that will give you supernatural ability. How do you build a relationship? Learning to hear from him. Learning to follow his ways. Because knowing God is not only to see the miracles, but to learn his ways. Moses saw the Red Sea open, but that was not enough. He wanted to learn the ways of God. The people of Israel saw the miracle and the plagues, And they murmured and never entered the promised land because they ignored the way of God. Moses understood the way of God. Moses understood the Red Sea was God's way. He never murmured. He understood the wilderness was God's way. He never murmured. Because he knew where God guides, he provides. Where God guides, he protects. No reason to be afraid. Once you understand this, you will respond to God's calling without any fear. Why? Because the Spirit of God opened your eyes to know the direction of God's calling for your life. And you will walk towards it, no matter the circumstance, no matter the opposite. Your conviction of your heart from the Spirit of God will lead you, and nobody can change your mind. Nobody. So, you need to discover yourself. You need to discover the gift of God in your life. And that one, you can never receive it on any school where you pay a degree. You have to go through the school of the Holy Spirit. You have to follow the university of the Holy Spirit. You have to yield your heart over to God and ask revelation. Pray for revelation. Pray for the kingdom. Pray for God's will in your life. That's why Jesus taught us how to pray. My Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What is hallowed be your name? Sanctification. How can God sanctify you? When the Holy Ghost comes, he will sanctify you. This flesh, you're not going to lead you. Divine holiness is by the Holy Spirit. What is pure? What is holy? Is by the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that makes you holy, that makes you a saint. When the Holy Ghost comes, he will begin to give you understanding and guide you to walk by faith towards the place of destiny without doubt, without fear. But the first, you need to discover your own weakness. That's what Moses said. Lord, I can't speak. God said, I will teach you how to speak. Lord, I am this. God said, I will be with you. When your faith begins to rest on God's ability in you, you are what God says you are. You can do what God says you can do, and you have what God says you have. It is your focus. Mm-hmm. When you focus on God's ability in you, now you know that what God says, whatever God says to you will come to pass. Once you know that, you will be like Paul. Nothing, absolutely nothing can stop you. You will be best among equal because the gift of the Holy Ghost will manifest in your life. So you need to discover yourself first. If I don't discover myself first, how can I discover God? If I discover myself and say, hey, I'm a human being and God is spirit. So how can I? So I need help. Then the helper will come to help you to understand and to know what you're going to do by yourself. It is not by power, not by might, by my spirit. The foundation of every living church is Holy Spirit. We know a prophet by the word he speaks. And the word he speaks is from the mouth of the Lord. The moment Moses began to speak and it came to pass, he understood himself. The moment Samuel paid attention and said the word of God, it came to pass, he discovered himself and people discover him. The moment you discover yourself, people will discover you. Once they discover you, God will send you to a place of assignment, not where you want, but where God wants you to be.
And once you discover yourself, you'll know the area of your life that you need to look after. Because what people value in you is not on the outside, but it's actually on the inside. And that's what you need to look after. And that's what you need to maintain. And that's what you need to make sure it doesn't run dry. Because it's the point of God in our life is not our natural ability, our natural talent, our speaking talent, our speaking ability, our appearance, anything on the outside. No, the point of God in our life, what people will begin to value in us once we have discovered ourselves is actually planted on the inside of us. And that is why we need to help maintain that. And how do we do that? By continuing to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit.
So I will give you my final word on this message today. It is not your mere wishful thinking, but your rightful focus that determines whom you are in God. I repeat, it is not your mere wishful thinking. I want to be an apostle. I want to be this. I want to be that. But your rightful focus in God that reveal what God says about you. The day you focus on God, knock, and you will find. The door will be open to you. Yield your heart, yourself, by meditation before the Spirit of God. pray for relationship first before God. And when the time comes, Holy Spirit begin to open your mind to understanding. And that's where the key is. Mm. You begin to discover yourself and what God has in store for you. It took a process for God to take Moses to a place of faith, step to step. And Moses was entering in the tabernacle. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 33, God spoke to him as a man spoke to his friend, face to face. So what do we need? Relationship. It is relationship that brings revelation. The apostle accepted to follow Jesus unconditionally. And Jesus began to open his heart to reveal himself to them. Whatever you achieve in life is a reflection of the relationship, the intimacy you have with God. There is always one level to go. Moses did not stop at the Red Sea. He continued to ask for more grace to know God better. Now he entered the tabernacle and spoke to God heart to heart. It wasn't enough. I want to see your glory. And God, you cannot finish the wisdom of God. There's always a level to go with God. Deep, deeper, deepest. So you enter deep when you discover yourself and to follow the way of God. So let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Today we are praying today. Lord, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways. He walks in the direction of God's calling for his life. Why? Because he had quick perception. Jesus, when you met Simon Peter at the seaside, he followed you. When he called Levi Matthew at the tax booth, he dropped everything and followed you because his heart was ready. Holy Spirit, I pray, enter the soul, enter the heart. Make their heart ready to discover what you have called them to be. Open the eyes of their heart, eyes of faith, to see what is promised to them in Christ Jesus. Open the eyes of their heart to see when Paul saw and discovered through the opening of the eyes of their faith, they will know whom they are in Christ Jesus, what you have in store for them. Guide them, illuminate them, lead them to a place of destiny in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. So please discover yourself. Come before God. Read your Bible. Meditate to build relationship with the only helper we have, Holy Spirit. There's no other helper. In John chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot understand it. When the Holy Ghost comes, he will lead you into the fullness of the truth. Before, when I had my earthly mentor, anytime I have a dream, I run to the prophet and say, Daddy, I have a dream. What is your dream? I told him. Sometimes he will just pray for me. Sometimes he will tell me. Why? Because he has the gift of interpretation. But today, he's in heaven. I'm here on earth. Holy Spirit is telling me the meaning. There are many things in my life that I will pray. He will reveal it to me in my heart. And I know this is God. This program this morning, we woke up, we say, we never prepare anything. We trust the Holy Spirit. Let's go and let God give us what to say to his people. The time has come to begin to rely on him, to depend on him. He will meet you at the point of weakness to manifest his strength in your weakness. When you honor him in your life, he will reveal himself to you. When you know I have no strength, he will take you to where you have never been before. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
And don't despise the process, because God values process even more than result.
Mm-hmm.
Because without the process of God, you can never get to your place of destiny. So no situation that you're in is ever wasted. You know, if you allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work in your heart and continue to make your heart a dwelling place for him, then there's no situation, no trial, no difficulty that is not wasted, because it can make you more closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
And your process will serve a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't get discouraged if you think that I'm not where I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing is that your heart is focused on God.
Mm-hmm.
So your heart is open to God revealing his purpose in your life. And God works through our situations and circumstances of life to reveal his purpose. So please stay close to God. And a lot of people have been asking a lot of questions in the comments. We've not had time to really address all of them today, but please, this is a university of God, which means that all of the videos that are on the YouTube channel or uploaded on the app, if you haven't subscribed to the app yet, you can do that, the Household of Faith. All of those teachings are there for you. Many of those questions that you are asked, they're actually answered in some of those videos, some of those teachings. So please watch them, rewatch them. This is the Foundation series, the Step Into the Spiritual series, all of these teachings that God has given us to give you.
As Prophet Ibi just said, if you are to become the man God wants you to be, follow his process.
Yeah.
Keep pressing in his own ways, not your own way. Keep pressing in the name of Jesus Christ. Mm. Keep pressing in his own time, not your own. God's time is the best. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you again next Sunday.
Heart to heart with God.
Heart.
That's we all want in you. It is for you. It is possible. Trust the Holy Spirit. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
The Lord be with your spirit.